The children can be dismissed to Children's Church at this time. And if you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to open to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be continuing our sermon series for September this morning. And if you've been with us so far in the series, you know that the focus of the sermon series that we're in, and also the focus for September as a whole, the entire month of September, our focus has been on conflict. As Pastor Kendall was mentioning this morning, our focus has been on conflict. How do we as Christians become people who are sowing peace in the relationships that God has brought into our lives? And also, how do we as Christians handle conflict well? Pastor Kendall also mentioned the Equip Conference that took place this past Friday and Saturday. And before I even begin, I just want to say thank you to everyone who helped put the conference together. And also thank you for everyone who was able to come. And if you weren't able to come, I want to make sure I just mentioned this morning. If you were not able to come, but you're interested in any of the resources from the conference, please let me know. We have lots of resources that we can share with you that are designed to help us think through how do we handle conflict in our relationships? How can we be sowing peace in our relationships? So there are a lot of resources available that I can share with you. Let me know if you'd like those. But we're going to continue that focus this morning on how to handle conflict well. And kind of a banner verse for this sermon series in September has been James 4:1. We've been kind of using this in the backdrop. James 4:1 says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" That's kind of been our banner verse. And the idea behind this that James is showing us in this verse is that when two passions or two desires are competing against each other or are pulling against each other, there's going to be conflict. When you have two people who are set that this is the way that it has to go and there's no room for reconciliation, no room for sowing peace, there will be conflict. Warring passions that are demands against each other become conflict. So that's kind of been the background verse for our sermon series in September. And we started by looking at, when we looked at this idea of conflict, we started the sermon series by looking, just kind of reflecting back here as a way of reminder. We started in Romans 8, Romans 8 verses 1 through 11. And we talked about conflict with God. We saw in Romans 8 that in the flesh, apart from Christ, in our natural state, our lost state, we are in conflict with God himself. We are hostile toward God. We are rebelling against God. We are enemies of God. We are, instead of worshiping God, our desire is to worship us, worship ourselves, worship anything else in creation except for God. But through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. We just read this in Romans 5. Because of Christ, we have peace with God. And this is the foundation for how we handle all of the other conflict that we will experience in our lives. We have to always come back to the foundational truth that the only way we can properly handle conflict is to always remember that first and foremost, we are at peace with God. That allows us and equips us to handle the conflict that we experience in our lives. And we will. We will experience conflict. This is what we saw when we last week when we looked at James chapter 4 a little bit more in detail. We looked at verses 1 through 3 of James chapter 4 last week, and we talked about conflict with people. How do we as Christians who are at peace with God handle conflict that comes up among each other? And what is the cause of that conflict? We looked at that last week, and we saw that as people who are prone to sin, oftentimes, our desires can turn into demands and expectations that we put on each other. And when those demands or those expectations aren't met, we can have conflict. When we don't get what we want, as I quoted David Pollison last week, when we don't get what we want, we fight. And so we looked at that last week, and James was helping us see that we should be sowers of peace. We should look at our relationships, and we should be asking and considering, how can I play an active role in sowing peace, not just avoiding conflict, but proactively sowing peace, being a peacemaker or a peace sower into the relationships that God has put in my life. And that part of that begins with not being so demanding, not having these expectations that are so heavy on other people that when they go unmet, I get angry. How can I be a peacemaker and not hold on so tightly to my desires and allowing them to become demands? So we looked at that last week. What about conflict with people? That's where we've been. And now today we're going to look at, in 1 John chapter 2 here, what about conflict with the world? How should we as Christians think about this idea of conflict with the world? And it's my prayer, my hope this morning that as we go through this passage and kind of unpack these verses a little bit, that maybe we'll grow a little bit in our understanding of what conflict with the world is. How would we define that? What is conflict with the world? And also, how can we handle that well? How can we, as people who are at peace with God, who have been reconciled to God, how can we handle conflict in the world well? Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John writes this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Okay, we can see right away here in verse 15, the command that John is giving us as Christians. John tells us right away in verse 15, as Christians, we should not love the world. Now, we need to understand what John means when he talks about the world. And so there are some things we need to make sure that we are clear on that he is not referring to. When John says the world, that we're not to love, he's not talking about creation. He's not talking about the gifts that God gives us to enjoy. He's not talking about people who are in the world that we are called to love. When God created the world and put Adam and Eve in it, God said, "This is very good." So John is not talking about those things that were very good. John is talking about what happened after Adam and Eve sinned. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, all of creation was impacted. And I want to just kind of imagine this for a minute. Imagine kind of a dark cloud of fog or smoke rolling into an area, maybe rolling into a building or rolling across the field. I want to just have that picture in our mind. Maybe you've seen if there's a bonfire or a fog in the morning kind of rolling across. Just keep that in our mind for a minute. This is maybe a picture of what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. The entire globe, all of God's creation, was in an instant impacted by a dark fog of evil. It infected and changed everything when Adam and Eve chose to sin against God. Pastor Kendall said this morning in our call to worship, he compared it to graffiti. It's like that. Something that was good was completely infected by a dark fog of evil. And I want to have that picture of fog in our minds, because when a fog is rolling through, you can try all kinds of ways to stop it, but it'll find its way into everything. Maybe another picture would be glitter. It goes everywhere, and you can't get rid of it. It's like that. It went everywhere, and it impacted everything. Suddenly, the world that was good, that God said is very good, was infected by Satan's evil rule. And mankind fell into a state of rebellion. mankind fell into a state of rebellion that is characterized by blindness, we see in Scripture, deaf ears, hard hearts toward God. Mankind, because of this evil fog that fell over God's good creation, mankind now found ourselves separated from God, and Satan's evil rule was rolled out over creation. We see this play out in Romans 1. Paul talks about this in verses 18 through 25. And I'm just going to summarize here, but Paul says that because of this evil fog that has infected the very image bearers that God created, because this fog has rolled out and the rule of Satan has been unleashed on creation, Paul says that the wrath of God is being revealed against the sin of man. Why? Because what can be known about God is clear. God has made his power and his divine nature known throughout creation. But because of this fog that has infected even God's image bearers, we can stand in God's creation and look at the world and say, I choose not to worship the God who created all of this. Instead, I choose to worship something or someone, anything or anyone else. This is the depth and the wickedness of the fog that has rolled through God's good creation. Instead of worshiping the Creator, the world has been vandalized by Satan and his evil system. This is the world that John is referring to. It's the evil system of anti-God values and anti-God attitudes that have flooded and infected God's good creation, including the minds and the hearts of God's image bearers. In verse 16, John describes these evil passions, these evil attitudes, these evil desires that flow through the world. He gives us three different categories that we can think about as we consider this world that is in conflict with God. He says, John describes this, one of these categories, as the desires of the flesh. He says, these are from the world. These are from this evil system that has vandalized God's good creation. We have these desires of the flesh, and maybe we could sum these desires of the flesh up this way. These are the desires that we have that are self-centered, sinful desires that are opposed to God, or in rebellion against God. So this would maybe sound like, I want what I want. I get to define truth. I get to say what's right. I get to decide what I want to do for me. I get to define whatever terms I want. I am the center of my universe, and I am the definer of truth. Out of this attitude comes all kinds of sinful desires, all kinds of sexual immorality, all kinds of murder, all kinds of horrible, tragic things, wickedness in this world coming from these desires of the flesh that say, I get to do what I want at whatever cost I define as good. John also refers to the desires of the eyes, another attitude or value or passion that runs through this world. And this has to do with the things that we see around us. We look at this world and we see what people have, or we see what we don't have, and we have jealousy and envy and we covet, and we see things that we want, that we must have, and we reveal that we want nothing to do with God. We only want what we can have apart from God. Things that look good, things that when I see and I say, I want that. I don't care about the one who gives it. I don't care about the gift or the giver. I want the gift. I want creation. I want what I can get. What is in it for me? What do I get out of this? The desires of the eyes, looking around and being attracted to the things of the world apart from God. John also refers to the pride of life. This category would be along the lines of boasting or finding comfort or security in self-reliance. Accumulating fame or comfort or possessions or success so that I can look at my life and I can say, I think I'm all right. I don't really need a God because I've got what I need. I've been able to accumulate, I've been able to build up what allows me to feel secure, what allows me to feel safe, what allows me to feel comfort, and I don't need there to be a God. It's self-reliance. Now, you can see behind all of these, the real culprit, it seems, behind all of these things is me. It's about me and what I want and what I see and how I'm doing. And it's true, we are accountable. We play a significant and critical role in promoting and embracing these types of passions. But I want us to be aware, when we're trying to figure out or we're trying to think through the conflict that we experience in this world, there's something behind us that we must be aware of. There's something behind me and something behind you. These values and attitudes that John has shared here, they characterize the world that is in conflict with God, but there is something behind them that we must be aware of. These evil passions that John is talking about are driven by something bigger, something more powerful, something deeper and darker than you or I. They're driven by the forces of darkness that hate God. We need to see this. We need to be aware of this. There are evil forces, powers of darkness aligned with Satan that hate God, that push this fog of poison around the globe through waves of culture, through governments, through movements, whatever it is. There are powers of darkness at work that we cannot see that are bigger and more powerful than we could ever imagine. And they are behind promoting all of this darkness. We need to understand this because it helps us understand the world that we are in conflict with. Paul says in Ephesians, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. And we need to know that so that we know and understand rightly the world that we're in conflict with. There are evil forces at work and they hate God. They're not neutral. They're not taking a day off. They're not sometimes nice. They're not sometimes distracted by other things. They have one focus: destroy God or destroy everything that's attached to him. That's their focus. When we're going about our life, when we're going to ball games or enjoying family vacations, whatever it is, when we are taking our days to enjoy, which God gives us these gifts to enjoy, but in all of that, when God might not be the first thing on our mind, these forces have one thing in mind: destroy God and destroy anything that's attached to him. They are singularly focused. And this is why there is a constant attack on the things that God says are good, like gender or marriage or human life. Everything that God has designed, including humans made in his image, are under constant attack. And all kinds of idols are promoted by these powers. Love of money, pursuing idols of food or celebrities or gluttony or greed, whatever it is. All kinds of idols are promoted to demote God in our lives and make our lives about something else. This is the evil that is working behind the scenes. These forces hate God and want to see everything, including human life, destroyed. They're against God. And so John says, do not love the world. Don't let this evil system of darkness grab your attention. Don't let this evil system of darkness have any say in how you shape your identity, how you think, what you value, the decisions that you make, the attitudes that you have, the worldview that you have, or the perspectives that you take on life. Don't let these evil forces of darkness have any say, because they are not your friend. They don't care about you. They don't have your best interests ever in mind. They simply want to infect you with their worldview because they hate God. And that's all they want to do. So John says, don't get caught up in these things. Don't give them your affection. Don't let them have say in your life. Don't love the world, because those who love the world, those who are still lost, those who are caught up in that system, are not in God's family. Don't let the world drag you into that darkness. John is showing us here that love for this anti-God world, this anti-God system, love for that is directly opposed to love for God. These two are not in any way able to exist together. They are completely contradictory to each other, and now we see the conflict. There is love for God and all that is good and right and vibrant and full of life. And then there is love for the system of the world that is full of death and hate and destruction. This is the conflict that we live in. Now, we need to hear this morning. John is writing this to us as Christians because, I think this is one of the reasons why this is important for us to consider, we can hear all that. And we can say, I agree. That is horrible. That is wicked. I would never want to align myself with those things. But the truth is, even though we can see those descriptions and we can agree with them all, the reality is the world, even in spite of all of that, is very enticing. This is why John wants to lay this out for us, because even as believers, this fog of darkness can creep in like fog rolling under a closed door and still pull at our hearts and still cloud our minds, maybe when we're not even aware of it. This fog of darkness, because we live in this world and we're constantly being pressed on by these evil forces, these powers that are at work, this evil fog of darkness can still find a way to shape the way we think and to shape our attitudes, to shape what we value. And so we can find ourselves saying things like, you know, maybe just a little step in this direction that God says isn't good. Maybe just a little bit is okay. Maybe just a quick look or just a quick thought. Or maybe I can just put my foot over here just a little bit across the line and everything will be okay. God still loves me. God's still good with this. Maybe just a taste and it'll be fine. I can control this, it's okay. Maybe we do find ourselves being discontent sometimes with what God has given us. And maybe kind of going down that road of self-pity a little bit. Well, everybody seems to have everything else, and I just don't have what I think I should have. And finding ourselves kind of wallowing in discontentment, allowing jealousy or greed to kind of start to take root in our hearts. Sometimes we might find ourselves depending maybe a little bit less on God than we think we should. Maybe our prayer life reflects this. Maybe we're not praying as often as we should be because we feel pretty self-sufficient right now. Brothers and sisters, these things seem less evil, but they're coming from the same evil fog, the same wickedness that has captured the world flows into our hearts and minds and tries to tug at us. It can't take us out of God's family, but it can cloud the way we think. It can cloud what we value. It can change and shape our attitudes. This is what James was dealing with that we looked at last week. James was dealing with this cloud or this fog of evil was making its way into the church. And people, Christians were starting to act like they were part of the world, like they were part of Satan's evil system. They were starting to live their lives in ways that reflected the world and not Christ. So we know that we can be impacted by this. So John tells us, be careful. Be aware. Maybe when you least expect it, maybe in the areas that you would least think to find it, this evil system can find its way into our thinking and into what we set our love on, what our affections are. We need to know that we're in conflict with the world around us. We need to make sure that we're not cozying up to it. It's not friendly. We are in direct conflict with the world around us. The powers of darkness are coming after us, pressing against us, trying to distract us if they can't destroy us, because they hate God and they hate anything that is attached to God. This is the world we live in. It's in conflict with God, and as God's people, we are in conflict with the world. But I think what John really wants for us this morning in these verses, when he writes these verses, I don't think he wants us to be afraid or discouraged. I think he points us to the world and he says, don't love that. It's evil. It's corrupt. It's anti-God. It's anti-Jesus. Don't let that creep its way into your thinking or into your affections. But he's giving us this warning as a way of encouragement. He's giving us hope. He's helping us see that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have overcome the world. Through our faith in Christ, we do not any longer belong to that system. We've been delivered from the powers of darkness that once held us in bondage. Paul tells us this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, yes, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were blinded. We were held captive. Our minds were clouded and made blind by this evil fog of darkness. We couldn't escape. We could grope around, but we couldn't find God because we were so bent on worshiping ourselves. That was all true. And we had no escape. But now, Paul says, God has made us alive with Jesus. And in Colossians, Paul tells us, all of our sins have been forgiven. The full penalty of our sin, the full penalty of all that we had done to rebel against God was nailed to the cross and canceled when Jesus Christ died for us there. And Paul says, when Jesus did that, when he died in our place, he disarmed those evil powers. He disarmed the evil powers of darkness, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them. We can rejoice because we don't belong to that evil system. We have new hearts and open eyes. We belong to a different kingdom. And when we see the brokenness and we see the evil and we see the wicked things going on, we can celebrate and rejoice that that no longer characterizes who we are. This is why Jesus can say in John 16:33, as he's talking to his disciples, he says, and to us, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. You will have pain. In this world, you will have all of that. But take heart, be encouraged, have hope, because I have overcome the world. Through our faith in Christ, his victory is our victory. We have overcome the world with him. We haven't done anything. We haven't fought. We haven't done anything. We haven't died for our sins. We haven't accumulated enough good works. We haven't done anything. Christ died for us so that he could tell us, my victory is your victory. And because of what Christ has done, we have overcome the world with him. And this is what John shows us in verse 17 of our passage this morning in these verses. He says, he's emphasizing what Jesus said in John 16. He says, this world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. forever. This world that we live in that is in direct conflict with who we are, that wants to destroy us, it is fading away into destruction. It's a promise. All of the pain, all of the evil, all of the wickedness, this entire fog of evil is fading away into destruction along with anything that is attached to it. And what will remain is creation, a new heavens and a new earth, how God intended them to be, with peace between God and man and man to each other. This is the hope that we have. This is the promise that we have. We are no longer bound or held by this world that we live in that is in direct conflict with who we are. And that changes how we live. It changes the way that we even deal with the conflict that we do experience. We can hear John encouraging us in these verses, brothers and sisters, because of God's love for us, because he has saved us from this evil world that hates God and hates God's people, because we have been saved from that, let's turn our love to God. Let's turn our love to God and away from the world. Don't love the world that's fading into destruction. Don't let it even have a foothold on the way we think or our attitudes or our values. Instead, with hope and joy, we can live confidently in this world, even though it's in conflict against us. This is our hope. This is our promise. This is our joy. We don't need to rely on anything in this world. We don't need to try to find security in this world. We don't need to try to find value. We don't need to try to find our identity in this world. God has secured all of this for us in Christ. We don't need to get on that hamster wheel of trying to prove ourselves to God or trying to prove ourselves to each other. It doesn't matter. God has saved us from this evil system and all of the things that it tries to infect our minds with. We belong in God's family. We are safely there. And this world has no foothold in our lives. We don't have to give it any room. Because of who we are in Christ, we can push back. We can seal ourselves off, not from being in the world, but we can seal ourselves off from being of the world, from allowing it to shape who we are. We can pray with confidence to God, help me to turn away from this evil world, from this evil system that hates you, and help me to love you, God. We can pray with confidence, God, I want you to be what shapes my desires. I want your love for me to be what shapes my identity, what shapes my value, what shapes my attitude. I want God's love for me to be what shapes how I interact with this world. I want to die to myself and let Christ be exalted. This can be our prayer because we no longer belong to the evil system of Satan. This is the only way that we can make sense of the instructions that Jesus gives us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us, to pray for those who persecute us, to return evil with good, to live peaceably as best we can with the people around us. Where do we find the strength? Where do we find the motivation to do that? Only by remembering that we no longer belong to the system of Satan. We no longer belong to that evil system that would say, I need to figure out how to handle this my way. But I can look and say, because God has loved me, because God has dealt graciously and mercifully with me, because I have been forgiven, now I can love others the way that God has loved me. This world will be full of challenges and trials, tragedies like we had this week, that weigh heavy on our minds and on our hearts. Relationships are broken. Things fall apart. Things don't go the way we want. We get bad news from a doctor. In those moments is when we will be most vulnerable to think the way the world wants us to think. In those moments when we feel most vulnerable is when we will most likely allow that fog to come running in and start thinking, how can I fix this? How should I respond? How can I make things right? How can I correct this evil thing? How can I take control of my health? How can I make all of this go away? How can I find comfort in this life? And those are the moments that we need to lean on each other and remind each other, there is no answer here. The answer is here in God's word. He's delivered us out of this system that is broken and failing and fading. Usually when I think of this verse 17 here that John writes, I a lot of times think about this as like trying to hold on to a wet paper towel. It just vaporizes. It falls away. You try to pick something up, you even try to pick up a roll of paper towels. If it's wet, it falls apart. This is what John is saying we've been saved from, trying to desperately cling to wet paper towels. They just fall apart. There's nothing there. It's exhausting. It'll never provide the comfort or the security that we want. But that's not our destiny. That's not our kingdom. We belong in God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, we have the promise that John says here, we will abide forever. We will live forever. That's how we make sense of these tragedies and the challenges and the hardship of life. This world that we're in is in conflict with God. It's in conflict with us because we are attached to God. We are God's people. The world hates God, and the evil system that hates God also hates us. But we are not of this world. We've overcome this world through our faith in Jesus Christ. The world is fading, but our future is not. Our future is bright. Our future is secure with Christ. This is our promise. This is the gospel promise that we have. And if you haven't put your faith in Christ today, I want to encourage you. It's important for you to know, if you've not put your faith in Christ, that you are still tied to the evil system that is fading into destruction. There's no escape but through Christ. Come to him. Put your faith in him, and you can be delivered from this evil, wicked system of darkness. You can have new life, eternal life in Christ, where there's a promise of no pain, no suffering, and no conflict. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the seriousness of living in a world that is in direct conflict with who we are. I pray that as we go about life, enjoying the things that you've given us, the relationships that you've given us, the communities that you've given us to live in, the recreation that you allow us to enjoy, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that even in the midst of us just living life, as you've called us to do, that we wouldn't lose sight of this reality that there are evil forces that hate you and hate us and want to distract us from you if they can't destroy us. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. We pray, show us the desires of our hearts. Show us where we may be vulnerable to think like the world. Show us where our values may reflect the values of the world and not the values of your word. Show us where we may be putting ourselves before you. Show us where greed or envy or jealousy may be plaguing our hearts. Help us to turn our love toward you and away from the world. Help us to see people as your image bearers to love and to serve people as you have loved and served us. Help us to handle the conflict that we experience in this world as Christ would, knowing that this world as it is now is not our home. Knowing that this evil will be wiped away, knowing that every tear will be wiped away, help us to know, Lord, and remember that we will be part of a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no conflict. Let that be our joy. Let that be our hope so that we can live out your call to us here in this world to be loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, that maybe some way we could be a light in this dark world until you take us home. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.